Good afternoon, everyone. Well, we couldn't be there today. We wanted to be, but we would have had to have a giant bonfire to keep us warm. So we couldn't find enough wood. And it's probably pretty muddy up there, too. Irvine Regional Park. My mom and dad used to take us up there over 60 years ago, and have been enjoying that area ever since. I really enjoy hiking around up here. There's some pictures I've taken hiking in the area. This is up in Crystal Cove, not too far from there. And there's Saddleback. Maybe some of you might recognize Saddleback Mountain. So I've been hiking around up there. Those are my feet dangling over a gorge. It's an amazing, amazing and beautiful world we live in that God created. It's just beautiful. And it's really a blessing to be able to keep the Sabbath, but especially if we can do it in nature. But today, we'll just do it vicariously. So one of the most important verses in the Bible, is this one. The very first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That has to be the starting point for faith. And it should be the starting point for all scientific understanding, which it's not, unfortunately, but it should be, and it could be. You know, without that premise, there's only speculation and confusion. The Word of God has much to say about humanity's rejection of this basic understanding about how everything began. If you turn with me to Romans 1, we're going to be talking out of Romans 1 here a little bit. Romans 1, and we'll start with 16 through 17. This is us echoing her. Going along with Paul here. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We believe the first verse of the Bible as the basic datum for understanding the natural world around us. But if you reject that premise, no matter how great a thinker you are, you'll just be wandering around smug in your own intellectual ignorance, really. This is not G.K. Chesterton, but famously he said, when men choose not to believe in God, they do not therefore believe in nothing. They then become capable of believing in anything. For example, this gentleman, a brilliant person, a great explorer, but he didn't believe in God, and he probably should have. He came up in a Christian family. And his theories have led the entire scientific community and really the whole world in the wrong direction. In verse 18, speaking of the wrong direction, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And especially in this country, in the Western countries that have the Bible, the very first verse of the Bible is ignored. So you end up with things like this. How is it possible to look at the beautiful world around us and think that it just happened, it just began. And so professing to be wise in verse 22, they became fools. So this is what is so beautiful. And we've all been, maybe not all, but many of us have been in the woods and experienced this kind of thing. It's just a beautiful place. I think this is up in the Redwoods, Northern California. So in verse 25, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature instead of the rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. The Apostle Paul certainly hit it on the nail, hit a nail on the head, and you know, but he's not talking to us because we're the believers. You know, our premise is Genesis 1:1, that it isn't nature, you know, some unknown nature that teaches us, but God teaches us through nature. And I have one simple example. So Irvine Regional Park, now fortunately there aren't any more of these left in Irvine Regional Park, but there used to be. In fact, the flag of California is a grizzly bear because they were roaming all over these hills back in, you know, till the mid-1800s. This one, or not this one, but the last one killed in Orange County was named Old Moccasin John, which is actually a female, but it was killed in 1908. You know, today, you got little bunnies running around up there. You've probably seen them up there in the park. You know, quail and deer, blue jays and coyotes, rattlesnakes. I've almost stepped on a few up there on my little walks on the mountains. And the one that I'm the most freaked out about is that one. And they're up there in those mountains, in the Santa Ana Mountains. In fact, they're all over the world, actually, mountain lions. So, you know, these guys will help clean it up if there's a problem. I don't know if you can see it, but the one on the right has a tag. I took that photograph. They were just sitting there on the side of the trail. So you also have the prickly pear cactus, which is food for all the animals up there. They eat the fruit and the leaves. Sagebrush and, anybody know what that is? Poison oak. You need to be able to identify that if you're ever going to go out in the... One time I was hiking up in La Habra, there's some trails up there, and I saw a lady over by the side of the trail, and she was getting ready to gather some of this. It turns red in the fall, and she was getting ready to gather it and take a nice bouquet home to her family. And I go, okay, ma'am, please, wait. So she didn't do it. But I would like to focus on just one plant or one tree. This is called the Coast Live Oak. And you may have enjoyed sitting under that tree up at the park. Does anybody remember sitting up there? You know, and we like to sit under that tree. It's native to Irvine Regional Park, and which is home to some of the oldest coast live oaks in Orange County. They can live up to about 250 years. So they're in a narrow band along the coast. From Mendocino down to northern Baja. And it all starts off with a little acorn. You probably can't even see it, it's so small. And I was looking all over for one. This is an acorn from a California coastal oak. And so the reason is because the squirrels and blue jays and everything eat these, and you know, once they start to mature, not only that, but the Native Americans would gather these and they grind them into a meal. And it makes a good meal. Here's one right here. So it all starts off, that tree, with a little acorn. It's pretty small. And it reminds us that all living things start off small. Luke 13, 18 through 19, Jesus was talking about, you know, somebody asked him, what is the kingdom of God like, and to what shall I compare it? It's like a mustard seed. So it starts off real small. Everything starts off small. We start off small too, spiritually, don't we? I mean, we start off small. We get called by God, and we don't really know much, but God's working with us. And if we fall into good soil, like Jesus talked about the sower, if we fall into good soil, maybe we'll start to put down roots in the way of God, and sprout, and little sprouts can start going up. With the right conditions, encouraged by God, we start to grow. Eventually, there's a tree. What holds it in place? What holds that tree in place? It's roots, of course. There's some big roots. I took this picture in Moro Canyon up in Crystal Cove State Park. So the roots obviously anchor the tree and absorb water and nutrients and protect it from storms. So how many storms do you think have gone by in this tree's 250-year life? Many, many storms. So storms come in our life too. Strong storm trying to blow us down. But if we're firmly rooted into God's Word and through God's Holy Spirit, we can stay upright. We might have to maybe tilt over a little bit, but we're still upright. Colossians 2, 6 through 7 is, you therefore have received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. That's what we need to be rooted in, our faith in Christ. So, has anybody ever heard the saying in the church, stay close to the trunk of the tree? It's one of the things we have heard over the years. And we do need to stay close to the trunk of the tree. That's the strength there, you know, the basic laws of God, the commandments, doctrines of the church. Now, the tree bark protects that trunk from rot. So the bark is like skin. You know, our skin protects us from foreign bodies and things entering. Same with a tree. It needs to have a good thick skin or bark. Protects it from insects and diseases and fire in some cases. So Jesus, you know, was very clear that offenses and persecution would come to us. We're going to get, I have. So things happen, and I probably have to you too, and I'm sorry, but persecution and offenses are going to come, and we need to have a thick skin. We need to try not to offend, obviously, but when it happens, we can't let it get to us and penetrate and rot us, because that kind of, you know, feeling can rot you from the inside out. 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, and be strong. So the next thing is the branches in a tree. The branches work by providing structural support for the leaves, flowers, and fruit, or acorns in this case. They seem like they reach up to heaven in prayer, as if in prayer to God. Psalm 63:4, David felt that way. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift my hands in your name. And I think maybe we've been reluctant to raise our hands in prayer to God in supplication. You don't need to. David did it. We can do it too. And so do trees. So the next thing is the leaves. Now, the most important part of the tree, the most delicate, but the most important. So the trees do something amazing. The leaves do something amazing. Sunlight hits the leaf, and there's a chemical reaction that turns carbon dioxide into sugars and oxygen. So it converts something that's bad into something that's good. So 2 Corinthians 4:6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The light of God's Holy Spirit shines upon us, and like spiritual photosynthesis, God's light, God's Holy Spirit is on us, and like spiritual photosynthesis, we become converted, taking away like the carbon dioxide of sin. And as we follow Christ, we can help bring life-saving oxygen of God's word to those who he is calling. So this is how you can look at the natural world if you believe the first verse of the Bible. Instead of saying, oh, that just evolved and, you know, it's just a... So, like that little acorn, we start small and start putting down our roots in the good soil of God's word and reaching up with our little shoots in faith towards the light. We start off small, and our roots hold us in place. When the strong winds of life blow, and they really will, they will, they're going to blow. Be ready. Our thick bark protects us from external attacks that could cause our faith to rot and penetrate into our trunk. And our arms, like branches, rise up in prayer and supplication to our God. And our leaves receive God's light and his spirit that converts us like spiritual photosynthesis into something pleasing and useful to God, sharing the life-saving oxygen of the word. You can see this analogy because you looked at that acorn through the lens of Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created.